Anyone who studies language knows that to get the full meaning of a written passage, it needs to be examined in the context of the cultures of the writer and of the intended audience. But what happens when we forget all about context and study Scripture only through the lens of our own biases?
Google sometime Martin Luther's opinion of the Jews. And what you'll read, if you didn't know you had Googled Martin Luther, you would think you were reading Adolf Hitler. As he says, burn their synagogues, confiscate their property, take away their homes and their businesses, prohibit any ability to take place in commerce, don't let them travel anywhere, take away their passports. That was Martin Luther's opinion of the Jewish people. So there was a disdain of Judaism. Now, with a disdain of Jews and Judaism, what do you do with something that has somewhat of a Jewish context? You take away the context, and you preach it as if that context weren't there.
This is Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Dr. White is the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Katy, Texas, and is the author of three books, plus a listener's study guide to the CD series titled Zechariah, Ancient Message for Modern Man. Dr. White teaches that the Bible is the only source of authority for mankind. Join us today as we present the Word for the World. And we're glad to have you with us once again as we turn a small corner in our new series called Ephesians, Unveiling the Mystery. For the first four programs in this series, we've been talking about God's work among the Jews, looking at the first 12 verses of Ephesians chapter 1. And we saw great evidence that those words are directed at the Jewish people. Today we switch gears to examine what God says to non-Jewish believers in verses 13 to 23 as we begin a new message from Ephesians titled God's Work Among the Gentiles, Part 1. Open your Bible to chapter 1 of Ephesians, pen in hand, and get ready to dig into what Scripture says as we continue this thought-provoking doctrinal series from our Bible teacher and pastor, Dr. Randy White.
Ephesians chapter 1, where we are today. We've been looking at the book of Ephesians in somewhat of a new way for many of you as we have come along, and some of you have had an aha moment, some of you have had an oh me moment, and we've been looking at in verses 1 through 13, God's work among the Jews. Today we're going to begin in verse 13 and go eventually down to verse 23. I can promise you that I won't get there today, but I might make it to the end of verse 14 today as we look at these two verses and consider what God has done with the Gentiles. Now, follow along. If this is your first time, you've missed two sermons, but I'll bring you up to speed here in about 30 seconds. God did a work among the Jews. God did a work among the Gentiles. Now Paul says, we're coming together. The wall has been broken down. Now, it was Robert Frost, I believe, that said that fences make good neighbors, right? And had a little poem about that. What do you do when the fence is gone? Well, then you better learn how to live with each other, right? And you better learn to have a mutual respect for one another. That's what the book of Ephesians is all about. Having a mutual respect, Jewish believers, Gentile believers, coming together. There used to be a wall there all along. Now the wall's gone. What do we do? How do we deal with it? Now, as you've come along in verses 3 through 12 especially, we took that personal pronoun, we or our or us, and we defined it as you do that all the time in every conversation. I say to you, we're going to Israel. We'll be leaving on Tuesday. How many of you are going home today to pack your bags? Most of you aren't. Why not? Because in its context, you immediately, intuitively, defined what we means, right? Simple. You know, I don't have a ticket. So in everyday conversation, we analyze this. Now, when we came to chapter 1, verses 2 through 12 of Ephesians, we just took the us and the we and failed to analyze that in its context. And so as we've come along here, I have defined the we or the us in verses 3 through 12 to be Jewish believers. Rather than a description of all the blessings of redemption that everybody has, it's a description of what God has done among the Jews. Now, for some of you, that's been a great blessing. For some of you, it's caused trouble in your soul. And when your assumptions are challenged, we respond in different ways, don't we? Some people welcome the challenge of an assumption. They celebrate. They just eat that kind of stuff up. There's not very many of those people, but there's some of those people that do that. Others come at it suspiciously. Some come at it with anger even. Well, wait a minute. They say, how come we never knew this? And your anger may be directed at all the teachers and Sunday school lessons and everything you had before. How come they never taught me this? Or your anger may be directed at the messenger. Why are you teaching me something that I've never taught before? I can't take this. This is not good for me. Hold on. Let's journey through it, and let's see if really there's an accuracy. But I want to ask the question, how come we've never been taught this before? I certainly hadn't, came upon this late. And so I taught some bad sermons from Ephesians chapter 1. I was thinking the other day, I'm going to have to now and forevermore ask every guest speaker who comes not to preach from Ephesians, because they'll get it wrong. And you'll be sitting there squirming the whole time, right? Right? Okay. So, how come we've never been taught it before? I think there are two reasons. One is, we read the Bible today from a very microscopic point of view. We don't take the whole picture. So, we'll come in, for example, and put a microscope, and we'll read chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And then we'll teach that as if it were the only scripture that existed. Very microscopic point of view, not taking it into context to say, well, am I going on the trip or not going on this trip? Who's the we, who's the us? We take it very microscopically. That's one reason we miss the Jewishness of verses 1 through 12. There's another reason we miss the Jewishness, I think, and that is because the church today has just totally forgotten its Jewish roots. And so with no perspective of being Jewish, it never even comes into mind that there might be some Jewish impact here. We just completely forgot it. You know, and why did we forget it? Well, I think we forgot it because many of our Christian forefathers out somewhere after 100 AD, I don't know exactly where the point started, but somewhere along the way after 100, between 100 and 300 AD, there became actually, by many Gentile believers, a disdain for Jews and Judaism and all things Jewish. Literally a hatred. I read about the Crusades sometime. Just read through history. You want to know what earlier believers thought of the Jews? Google sometime, preferably not right now, but Google sometime, Martin Luther's opinion of the Jews. And what you'll read, if you didn't know you had Googled Martin Luther, you would think you were reading Adolf Hitler. As he says, burn their synagogues, confiscate their property, take away their homes and their businesses. Prohibit any ability to take place in commerce. Don't let them travel anywhere. Take away their passports. That was Martin Luther's opinion of the Jewish people. So there was a disdain of Judaism. Now, with a disdain of Jews and Judaism, what do you do with something that has somewhat of a Jewish context? You take away the context. And you preach it as if that context weren't there. And if you do that, say, for nearly 2,000 years, eventually you come to the point where maybe people in the church today, maybe, have lost the disdain for Judaism, but they never picked up the context again. Now, Judaism had been written out for so long that it became that big lie, so to speak, that we heard it over and over, we assumed it was true. So I challenged that assumption and looked at the context and what the scripture said and preached to you, verses 1 through 12, are about the Jews. Now, we come to verses 13 and 14. Let me read them to you. Ephesians chapter 1. It says, in him you also. By the way, those are the four words that sent me on a study that changed completely the way I read the book of Ephesians. In him you also. Wait a minute. What? Us, 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 we, now you. There's been a shift. Something's taking place here. In him, in Christ, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. And with these words, Paul begins a discussion of God's work among the Gentiles. In him, you also. Now, I mentioned just a moment ago that we read the scripture very microscopically, and that we have forgotten our Jewish heritage and the Jewish nature of the early church. And typically, a fellow would come along down through history, a Christian Gentile would come along and say, open up to the book of Ephesians, and it says in verse 1, this is a letter to those believers at Ephesus. Maybe he'd pull up on his PowerPoint, because that's been in existence for 2,000 years now. He'd pull up a map and say, look, here's Ephesus. Ephesus is in Turkey. Here's Jerusalem. Here's Ephesus. Here's Jews. Here's Gentiles. This was in Ephesus. This was in Turkey. This is Gentiles, right? And everyone say, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. He was in Ephesus. This is 1,000 miles away from anything Jewish. This is Gentile. And we would, we'd buy it, hook, line, and sinker. Problem is, the Bible tells us just the opposite.
You're listening to Dr. Randy White here on Word for the World, and we'll return in just a minute with the balance of today's message.
Dr. White would like to send you a free gift just for listening today. It's his popular sermon on the subject of demons. These fallen angels have wreaked havoc in our world ever since the Garden of Eden. In this powerful message, Dr. White discusses the role of demons in the world today, including what demon possession is and is not, and how you can arm yourself with the protective truths of Scripture. It's our free gift to you today. Just ask for the Demons CD when you get in touch with us. You can reach us toll-free at 855-437-9448. That's 855-437-9448. Or you can email us at randy@randywhiteministries.org. That's randy@randywhiteministries.org.
Let's continue now with the rest of today's message here on Word for the World. It's titled, God's Work Among the Gentiles, Part 1. Once again, here's our Bible teacher, Dr. Randy White.
When it says, I want to write to the saints who are at Ephesus, we ought to ask a question. How'd those saints get to Ephesus? They come down from Mars? What happened here? They're saints at Ephesus. What in the world happened? And that would lead us back, and you can go there, to Acts, the 18th chapter. In the book of Acts, of course, we have the history of the early church. And we want to see how these saints get at Ephesus. How did believers, I've defined saints as Jewish believers, but just take it as believers if you'd like to. Acts chapter 18. Paul has his second missionary journey, 2 out of 3, and he's about to close his second missionary journey. And in chapter 18, he is in the city of Corinth. And it says in verse 2, for example, of chapter 18, verse 2, it says, and he found a what? A Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. Notice we have Rome, we have Italy, we have Pontus. None of them are even near Jewish territory. Remember, Jews had been scattered since about 723 B.C., scattered throughout out the world. Here's a Jew named Aquila. He had a wife named Priscilla. We're going to run into them as we jump ahead to chapter 18, verse 18. It says, Paul, having remained many days longer, took leave of the brethren and put out to sea for Syria, and with him were Priscilla and Aquila. And, verse 19, they came to Ephesus. Who did? 3 Jews. All of them being very Jewish, all believers. They came to Ephesus, and he left them there. Now he himself entered what? The Baptist church. The marketplace. No, it specifically tells us the synagogue. Let me just ask you a question. Even if it's in Ephesus, who gathers at the synagogue? Jews do. He entered the synagogue and reasoned, in case you're wondering, with who? The Jews. They asked him to stay a longer time. He didn't consent, had to go on. So he left, but Aquila and Priscilla are Jews. They're there in the synagogue. And along the way comes another fella. His name is Apollos. You see him in verse 24. It says, now a what? A Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth. That's Jewish territory, isn't it? That's the coast of Africa, isn't it? Again, we haven't even touched being near Jerusalem yet. Here's a Jew born in Alexandria, and he comes. The scripture says he's a great teacher, and he is teaching things concerning Jesus. But notice what he says in verse 25. At the end, it says, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And so Aquila and Priscilla are believers. They've been with Paul. They hear this sermon and they say, you know what? As Paul Harvey would say, he doesn't know the rest of the story. He's only got as far as John the Baptist. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is, it's nearby. It's coming. And he's telling people repent under the teaching of John. They pull him aside. Two Jews pull him aside and say, let me tell you something more accurate. Later on, Paul comes back to Ephesus in chapter 19. And Apollos had gone to Corinth, and so it says in chapter 19, verse 1, it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. Anyone want to just guess what kind of disciples he found? They were taught by Aquila and Priscilla and Apollos. They were all Jews. They were meeting in the synagogue. These were Jewish disciples, believers. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Remember their response? What are you talking about? There's a Holy Spirit? We don't know anything about this. So he asks him a key question in verse 3. Into what were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Let me ask you a question. Who's John? John the Baptist. He was a Jew, by the way. Who did John the Baptist baptize? Jews. As far as I know, he only baptized Jews. I don't know why it wouldn't make any sense for him to baptize anyone else with the message he had. So he baptized Jews. These Jews were baptized under the baptism of John. So Paul fills them in. He gives them the rest of the story. It says then, verse 6, that the Holy Spirit came upon them. They began speaking in tongues and prophesying. I actually read one guy was talking about how the Jews had already had their day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down, and that this was the Gentile day of Pentecost. There's only two problems about it. One is, it's not Pentecost. How could it be the day of Pentecost? Pentecost is a specific day. It's a Jewish day. It's 50 days after the Passover. So, okay, let's give on that one and say this was their Pentecostal experience for the Gentiles. Well, the other problem is, there's no Gentiles there. These were people who had been baptized into the baptism of John. These were Jewish people. So they have another mini Pentecostal experience there as the Holy Spirit comes down. Now in verse 8 of chapter 19, verse 7 tells us there were about 12 of these. In verse 8 it says, and he, Paul, entered the what? Synagogue. Continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. Now, as they were doing that, some of these Jews, it says in the synagogue in verse 9, began in the middle of the verse speaking evil of the way. Christianity didn't even have a title yet. Later it became a derogatory term. And some of these Jews are saying, wait a minute, you know, this isn't like we've taught before. And they began speaking evil of these believers, this what was becoming a Jewish sect. And so it says in verse 19 that the people, these early disciples and Paul, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples. Every one of them's a Jew so far. He took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. Now, what's the school of Tyrannus? From everything we can tell about it, it likely is a Jewish yeshiva. I don't know if you know what a yeshiva is or not, but it's a place where Jewish men go every day. And every day they study the scriptures. Did it then, do it now. So he goes to this yeshiva, Tyrannus Yeshiva, and he reasons with these Jews who are at the yeshiva. Does it for 2 years. And he's preaching the gospel. And notice what happens in verse 10. All the people who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Now the gospel spreading to the Greeks. Now, as soon as that story is over, here comes a fella named Demetrius. Demetrius makes idols, silver idols to the god Artemis. Now, anybody just want to guess so far? Think Ten Commandments, by the way. Think First and Second Commandments, by the way. Anyone want to guess whether Demetrius, the idol maker, is Jew or Gentile? Gentile. Jews don't make idols to Artemis. So, Demetrius says, if this fella keeps going, we're going to lose our business. They gather together, great is a god, you know, Artemis, god of the Ephesians, and they have this great rally here. Now, what have you got? The Jews, the Gentiles, all of them trying to figure out how to get along with this new way that's coming. And they begin to have a church. And what happens in this church? You got Jewish believers, Gentile believers, and Paul comes in and says, we're taking down the dividing wall. We're taking this wall down. All of a sudden, you got Venus and Mars trying to come together. And what's the book of Ephesians about? Jews, Gentiles, Jewish believers, Gentile believers. How can you have a mutual respect for one another? And he says, okay, listen, Jewish believers, let me tell you everything God's done for us. And he begins to lay it out.
And that brings us to the end of our message today from pastor, Bible teacher, and author, Dr. Randy White, here on Word for the World. Today, as we conclude our program, Dr. White comes to our studio microphone to give us some closing thoughts and perspective. Dr. White?
If you've been following us this week on Word for the World, I've been teaching some very fundamental issues of doctrinal importance from the first chapter of Ephesians. You know, Paul has really given us, through the direct inspiration of God, he's given us insight into the work of God as it relates to salvation, both to the Jew and to the Gentile. As a saved Gentile, I'm grateful for the information I received from these pages of Holy Scripture. And knowing that the work of God has done for salvation, what it's done, both for the Jew and the Gentile, really is an encouragement to me, and I'm sure to you also. But not only this, it's a great thrill to be able to see some of the detail and even the minutia of God's work with Jews and Gentiles, and how he worked so creatively to fulfill his promises to the Jews, not letting even one of them fall by the wayside. And yet, also he brought the Gentile into the body of Christ that we call the church. Now, next week, we're going to continue the same series of Ephesians, and I hope you'll tune in right here every day. And of course, our host will give information on how to get this entire series or how to catch what you've missed online. Now, if I could, I'd like to close this week out in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, you have given us such a rich gift in your word in Ephesians 1. I pray that you'd use Ephesians 1 to draw each of these listeners to a greater understanding of their spiritual heritage in the Jews and their spiritual blessings in the church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. White. Friends, if you're enjoying this series from Dr. White on Ephesians and would like to have the entire collection on CD, we'd like to send it to you. It's titled Ephesians, Unveiling the Mystery, and it's available for a suggested donation of $30. You know, if you have questions, need someone to pray with, or maybe you're considering accepting Jesus as your personal Savior, we would love to talk with you and help you. Before our time is over today, we have a free gift that we'd like to send you. It's Dr. White's popular sermon on the subject of demons. These fallen angels have wreaked havoc in our world ever since the Garden of Eden. And in this powerful message, Dr. White discusses the role of demons in the world today, including what demon possession is and is not, and how you can arm yourself with the protective truths of Scripture. It's our free gift today when you contact us and ask for the CD titled, I Believe in Demons. Please remember that Word for the World with Dr. Randy White is a listener-supported program. We depend on your prayers and financial contributions to bring you this program on this local radio station each weekday. Your contributions, large or small, make it possible for us to continue bringing you this broadcast. If you'd like to help us with a donation of any amount today, Dr. White would like to send you a personalized autographed copy of his book titled, The Faith of Benjamin Franklin. I know you'll enjoy it. You can contact us toll-free at 855-437-9448. That's 855-437-9448. Online, our website is randywhiteministries.org. Or email us at randy@randywhiteministries.org. That's randy@randywhiteministries.org. If you prefer to correspond by mail, our address is Word for the World, 600 Pin Oak Road, that's P-I-N Oak Road, Katy, Texas, 77494. At Word for the World, we believe our mission is to teach the Word of God. Word for the World is a listener-supported, nonprofit broadcast ministry.